So, Momo, do you like our new intro music here?
Oh, what is it? I feel like it's the Coke Kai theme or something.
I like it. Laura hates it. It was actually a cap selection, but it's one of the few things that he's done that actually I like.
He's got Captain Special right there.
I
feel like Richard Marx is going to come around the corner and start belting.
You know what it is? I also know that it was in an Entourage episode.
Okay.
Where Vinny chasing them. We're doing the red carpet for one of his movies.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like, you know, it kind of reminds me of that. So I like it. I like that. Like, we're starting the show with the red carpet here.
Yeah, I like it. Well, to me, like, if you wanted to choose, like, my walk-up song, like, do you have a walk-up song? Like, if you were leading off for the Dodgers, what would your walk-up song be?
Ooh, now that's a hell of a question to ask me on a football Monday. But I will, it would probably be some sort of Pitbull variation because I'm that, you know, because I'm that guy. You know what I mean? Like, I love me some Pitbull. I am not afraid nor ashamed to mention how much I love Pitbull. So,
I mean, for me, there is really only one choice.
Yeah.
Laura, can you find the John Cougar
melody? Oh, yeah. I mean, it's Sir Mix-a-Lot, right?
Yeah. Go ahead. You got it?
Yeah. Of course. It's got to be Sir
Mix-a-Lot. She's got it on cue. She's got the,
Yeah. Maybe
I
got
like
back.
Big butts and I got... That's got to be... No.
Maybe got back.
The truth is, what I... There it is.
And you know what?
The pump-up song, right?
See, I feel like if you were a... if you're a major league hitter, okay, and this is the song you choose...
No.
Now, here's what you got to be. You have to be a pinch hitter, okay? Because this song is not an everyday song at the ballpark, but it's one of those that when you hear it, the entire stadium goes nuts because they know what's happening.
You know what? You know who should have this as his walk-up song? Jock Peterson. This is like a Jocktober.
Well, he does
song.
Have back. Yeah, he's got some back, too.
Yeah.
So, anywho... a couple of things to address here. Let's work backwards. Yes, Christopher,
right.
I did tweet that this show, Sedano and Cap, Afternoon Drives here on 710 ESPN, was the highest rated local sports talk show of December. And here's what I've learned, okay, over all the years that I've been doing it now, you know, almost six here and, you know, almost, you know, 20 in general, that you take the wins when you get them because sometimes the run goes for a long time. Sometimes it's just a blip on the radar, and then, you know, you got to start over again and rebuild. So you take them when you got them. So, look, this show has been the highest-rated show on the station for a while, and now it's the highest-rated show on two stations now. So, I'm going to take the victory lap for the one, you know, for the couple of weeks until the next book comes out, and we may not be the number one show anymore, but I'm going to take that victory lap because you should. Yeah, I've learned, Momo, in the new year, you know everybody has resolutions?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not a resolutions person, but what I've said to myself is, as I've gotten older, I'm going to enjoy the little things. And the little victories like this, I'm gonna do that. Now, people thought when I tweeted that it was some sort of shot across the bow at the other station or even Mason in Ireland or whatever, Travis and... No, it was just, hey, man, you know what? We did good. We're going to celebrate us being good.
I'm into that. I mean, look, I'm not a huge self-promoter on social media. I don't really have it in me. But when I have a story that I'm, like, really proud of, or especially now we're ESPN Plus, we're behind the paywall.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, man, I better promote my stories. Like,
sure.
I really, you know, a lot of times.
Yeah.
And so, like, you just got to do it. And you have to, like, not think too much about it. You have to just promote it and just don't be self-conscious.
And what Christopher neglected to mention was that I attributed all our success to two individuals and one group of people, the group being the audience and the individuals being Lindsay and Laura.
Yeah.
So
I would agree with that. They are the best part of your show. I mean,
they are.
I listen.
Thanks.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
So you're welcome. And ladies, we'll get to you here in just a moment. So let me just continue addressing what Christopher mentioned there. The Rams, I'll get to them in a second. I was the guy, you heard the audio there, when everyone was panicking, that said there's a path, they can still win the NFC, and here we are, lo and behold, on January 3rd, that's going to be the case. We'll get to that in a second. My holidays were a nightmare. Okay?
Really?
Let me explain this to you, and I'm curious to hear how you and Lindsay and Laura all felt. A nightmare. So, my son, Mateo, got sick. okay, around like the 21st or so. So it was probably, I don't know, 3 days into
Is this like, being... what, describe sick. Is it like preschool head cold or like steer clear, you need to, you know, of the bathrooms and coming out both ends? Like which,
no.
Sick?
Just a cold,
I got it.
Now,
okay.
We, you know, we got him tested, non-COVID, okay, yeah. Whatever, we're good. So he's coughing, he's losing his voice, he's mm-hmm. sneezing, he's stuffy, it's miserable. You know, you have a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
It's miserable. Now, the last time he got sick, nobody in the house got sick. This time, everyone got sick except my daughter, Aria. She apparently has she's immunized, unlike Aaron Rodgers, apparently.
Yeah.
So she doesn't get sick. I get sick. My wife gets sick. My mom, 82-year-old mom, still here, gets sick. Okay? So 23rd of December, I have zero voice. 25th of December, I have a game on national television on the biggest holiday in the NBA calendar. And I am doing everything I can to try to get this voice back. I'm not talking. I'm drinking everything that's warm that was possible to drink. And then I flew to Milwaukee, got more sick, somehow did a game, came back, and then had a bowl game, Momo. And you know how all these flights are getting canceled?
Well, guess whose follow flight... you on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Guess whose flight got canceled? Both on the outbound and on the return. And I eventually just said, the hell with this. I'm going to buy a flight on another airline and pray to God that I make it back home in time for New Year's Eve to my family and children. It was a miserable. It should have been the most wonderful time of the year. It's the holidays. It's time off. None of that happened. All I did was get sick and then have to deal with the misery that everyone else has had to deal with travel delays and travel issues.
So I got an advice for you.
Yeah.
You got too many jobs, man. You have like 7 jobs, George.
I do have a lot of jobs. There's that.
Yeah. You got the NBA.
Yeah, it's
timeline.
A Latino thing. Laura's right.
Yeah. You got, Laura, you got too many jobs too, man.
I
You're
know,
always
girl.
Going to different jobs.
That's all we know how to do is work.
I know. And I'm like, every time I see George, I'm like, man, he got another game. He's flying for, wait, you got a bowl game too?
Right? I had 2 of them.
Yeah.
Luckily, I had one here. One of them was the L.A. Bowl, the Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, yeah, that's
Bowl,
good. That's good.
Which was nice, but, yeah.
I mean, look, right now, I'm just trying to go nowhere. I'm trying to see nobody. I do all my work on the phone as much as possible. I text everybody. Like, I feel bad. You know, do you know how kids imitate their parents?
Yeah.
So I have a 3-year-old, and now his favorite move is to pick up the phone and say, I got to take this call.
Oh, that's funny. Because that is a mama move. Yes, you do that all the time.
All day long.
Yeah.
So funny. Just right now, just stay home, everybody.
Yeah.
Just stay home.
No, I have not left the house since I returned back from the Alamo Bowl between Oregon and Oklahoma.
Man, you know what? That was a good like complaining rant, but I do feel sorry for you. You have every reason to. But you didn't even talk about the rain. Like, that was the other thing for those of us who have young kids. My God, that was hard.
Yeah, you couldn't go anywhere, right?
Stuck in the house. Yeah. Yeah. Like, there was just nowhere to go. It's just you and the 3-year-old. Let's go. How many times can we watch that Cocomelon? How many times can we?
It's kind of funny, but you know, there's
funny.
a lot of things to be happy about and proud about and thankful for. And I you know, all kidding aside, we are. Lindsay. You have a bigger problem than anyone, I think, at the current moment here on this show. Would you like to tell everyone what you told me earlier today when I tried to reach you?
Well, my toilet is clogged, and I don't have a plunger. And so my dog, had a little dog accident in the living room. And not thinking, I went to go clean it up, and I grabbed a paper towel and just went to flush it down the toilet, not even thinking about it. And then it got clogged, and I was like, oh, great. So I was Googling, like, how to unclog a toilet without a plunger.
Oh,
and
man.
And I tried, like, the whole, like, you put, like, a whole bunch of Dawn dish soap in there and then pour a bunch of hot water
that
in there.
Right.
But right now, all I have right now, I just looked at it because you're supposed to let it sit for a while. It's just a very, very high to the top blue toilet bowl now. So
yeah, now what you need to do,
it works.
I think detergent works better. Like actual powder detergent. I haven't done this in a really long time since when I was single. But if, first of all, you when you responded to me, you said, and I want to get to Mike in Alamitos because he thinks he's funny, and I'm gonna have to slap him back a little bit and put him in his place in a moment. But Mike, I'm ready for you. Don't worry. But what you need to do is, you know, when you said to me, "Who owns a plunger?" My response was literally, "Everybody."
I've never owned one. I ordered one on Amazon, though. So if it's not unclogged by tomorrow, I got it under control.
So if you've got some sort of way, Lindsay, before the plunger arrives, I mean, I always go with detergent and hot water in that situation. But again, it's been, you know, 15 years maybe since something like that's happened, maybe longer. Feel free to call at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3777.
I'm scared of the calls we're going to get on that.
Oh, no, that's going to be
great.
Are you
sure you want those calls?
Yes, I want to know what you need to do to help Lindsay get rid of the poop in her toilet that's clogged.
Is this how you have the best ratings at the station? Is this it?
Because I am a man of the people, and I'm glad you reminded me of that, because Mike in Alamitos wants to remind me that I was off most of December. Mike, is that accurate?
Yeah, I was just noted that the show is the most popular last month, and you were gone most of last month.
Mike,
I heard the most all last month was the all-star guest host, Ramona Shelburne.
That's
yeah,
it.
Mike, well, we love Ramona, hence why she's here. But, Mike, let me explain something to you about radio. See, we have a different calendar because it's called there's a thing called the holiday book, which is basically the holidays. So the December ratings period is actually from November 11th to December 8th. And then the rest of those weeks are considered the holiday book. And I didn't leave till December 18th, so, you know.
Yeah, I'm mainly busting your chops. I love the show, and I wanted to prop up Ramona for always being there when we need her.
Listen, Ramona's not
Thanks,
only
man.
Here. Ramona, Mike, let me explain something to you. Ramona's not only here physically for this show when we need her. Ramona is literally there every time I need to call and vent to someone all the time. Okay. So yep. There you have it. Thank you, Mike, and Happy New Year. All right, so we've got people that are calling in for advice for Lindsay. Yes,
I just want to register my fear of what these calls are going to be, but go ahead.
It's going to be awesome. Like, by the way, what if you just, like, don't have a plunger and you need to remove poop out of the toilet? It can happen to anyone, okay? By the way, the time it happened to me when I was single, I had a plunger and it still wouldn't go down, okay? So the detergent in the hot water made it eventually go down enough where I could then use the plunger again, probably for like 10 minutes, and then eventually get it to go down. Now, I will also say it wasn't a dog's poop, but I won't say any further than that.
That's the part that I'm scared of.
Okay. I'm just saying, though. I'm just letting
people
know.
It's the prologue. It's the prologue to where the story is going to end up with the advice.
Okay. It's the combination of that plus the paper towel. Like, you can't flush paper towels down the toilet. And I know that.
Yeah, paper towel was a terrible idea.
Yeah, yes. It was just like a quick thing.
It's kind of like when, Ron Burgundy said milk was a bad choice. It's very similar. Yes.
Here we go. Ryan, let's see what the call is.
Ryan in Ventura has advice for Lindsay and her plug toilet. Go ahead.
So this is hilarious because this happened to me yesterday. Not a dog, but I have a 4-year-old daughter, put a bunch of wipes down the toilet. First, it got backed up. And what worked for me, I didn't have a plunger that fit the opening. So the first thing I did was a cup of baking soda. And then you pour in vinegar, and you let that sit.
That sounds
bubbles,
good.
Ooh, that sounds dangerous.
It works. No,
I think that sounds good, man.
No, Lindsay, that does work. I'm looking at it online as he said it, and yes, he's right. Like, there are plenty of advocates for this. Ryan is right.
I feel like that's going to turn into like a big poop volcano.
He dropped. Lindsay, what do you have to lose at this point? Seriously.
Oh, well, no, there's a lot to lose here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, I don't want like the poop overflowing out of my toilet because it's pretty like after putting the extra water in, it's pretty high up now.
Okay. Well, you need to find a way to get the water to go down before you can actually then attack it. So Abraham in LA has advice for Lindsay and her clogged toilet. Abraham, what do you have, sir?
Yep. So two things. One, if you really want to get in there, you can use a coat, like a wire hanger.
Oh Lord.
Try to stick it in there.
I don't know about that.
And secondly, put on some gloves. And if you have like a like a big 2 liter bottle empty, you can use that to kind of create the same suctioning in and out motion that a plunger might
do.
Oh my gosh. But you really got to get in there.
Oh, that sounds like a good idea, but I'm not willing to do that at this point.
You're not desperate enough.
Thank you.
All right, Abraham. Thank you, buddy. Happy New Year. All right, keep it coming. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. So, look, I was right about the Rams. Everyone needed to chill, but I was wrong about one team, and I'll get to that on the other side because it's a team near and dear to Momo's heart.
Oh.
But coming up before that, we'll be back in about 3 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, man, I loved Arsenio.
Me too. I used to do that all the time, like just when and most people got that joke, but now if I do it, people just think I'm weird.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? I think we're too old, George. Like, people don't understand it anymore.
People won't know. Only people our age would know.
I know.
Like, you think, if you can't just, like, there was a time in American pop culture, you could walk up to anybody and just, like, you know, do your arms in the circle and just go, like the dog pound, and everybody knew what you were talking about.
I know.
Now they just think you're a crazy person. Or you're from Cleveland.
You know that Arsenio, I was going to say, Arsenio Hall's from Cleveland.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, well, that was the whole reason, right? He did that. Yeah, the dog pound.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
See, Momo didn't know.
I didn't
Arsenio,
know that.
Arsenio, he was on the show with me years ago here. And I remember because I was – that's when the first iteration of Sedano in the afternoon. And Trudell was on with me that day. And he Arsenio came on to talk something with us. I don't remember what it was. But he came on. He was super nice. He followed us both on social media and then invited us to his gig. He had a gig in Hermosa Beach at the comedy club down there in Hermosa Beach, and we both went, and it was really
fun. I bet he listens to the show. He seems like...
Oh, he's a huge sports fan. I bet you he does.
Huge sports fan. Like, I'm surprised. He's like... Wasn't he really good friends with Magic Johnson?
Yeah, he still is. Yeah.
Yeah, they're really good. I bet he watches ESPN and listens to your show regularly. Like, he's probably in L.A. listening to us right now.
Arsenio, if you're on the 405 somewhere, I still love you, bro.
I know. He's awesome.
I love him. Yes. I mean... I used to love, I was like probably like in elementary school, maybe in junior high, when that show came out, and I would stay up every night to watch that show. It was the late night show that spoke to me. Not that Carson wasn't great and all that stuff, but this was the show that spoke to me.
Yeah, me too. Do people still do that? Do they like listen to, do they stay up and watch late night?
There are people, but the numbers are definitely dwindling. I think what a lot of those late night shows do now, which is really smart, and really James Corden changed the math on that, is a lot of their clips, they want to create viral clips, right? So that people are still talking about them, you know?
Yeah, I watch everything on YouTube now. Like, everything is just the clips from SNL or clips from Corden show. I mean, Carpool Karaoke, that's his.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's that, for sure. Momo, before I get to how right I was about the Rams... I was super wrong about your Raiders. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'd been in on them. I'd been out on them. I'd been in on them. I'd been out on them. I didn't know what the hell to make of them. Okay. And then if I said, you know what? No more waffling. I am out on the Raiders, and they are 3-0 since. So as much as I was right about a lot of things, over the last few months, I was dead wrong on them. And I want to make sure to call myself out on that. What do you watch them? They're your
team. What is happening?
Like, are they good or are they not good? I don't know.
I think their defense is good, and I think it's keeping them in games. And then Derek Carr seems to first of all, he and Hunter Renfro are like, Hunter Renfro is sort of like this miniature Cooper Kupp, right? Like he's
like Derek Carr's Wes Welker.
Yeah. There you go. That's a good comparison. Yeah. Or Julian Edelman type. Like he's just a great possession receiver. If you watched Hard Knocks on the Raiders a few years ago, or if you watched Clemson when he was there, like you can just see this coming. He's a great possession receiver.
Yeah.
And he helped me. Like if you picked him up on your fantasy team midway through the year, you did well this year because he's been great.
Yeah.
And I think what happened with the Raiders is they, you know, this is, listen, I am a long longtime Raider fan, so I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, okay?
Okay. They're playing the Chargers. Big game on Sunday night.
They're going to lose. I mean, this is what they do. They get your hopes up. You get all excited. It comes down. They rally back. They get us right there. And then at the last minute, they lose. Yeah, this is going to – I'm preparing myself.
Wait, but isn't that what the Chargers also do?
Oh, that's true. Maybe it's going to cancel each other out.
Somebody's got to win. Like, I mean, I guess they could tie technically.
But... you know what? It's going to be a tie. It is.
Oh, my God. That would be hilarious, actually, if they tied.
Or, Pittsburgh will win tonight, and it'll mess everything up. Like,
something
will happen. And they just – they're really good at snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. They're just – like, they're. I mean, my entire existence as a Raider fan is waiting for that flag to come in because – and get the touchdown to be called back because some offensive lineman got a holding call. I mean, it's just like that. You just prepare yourself. So my – I was all hyped for the Colts game. I'm like, we're going to beat the Colts. You know we're going to beat the Colts.
I picked them. I did. Yes, I bet the Raiders plus 7. I said 7 is too much. The Colts aren't that good.
Right. I thought the Colts were good, but I thought we would win because that's what the Raiders do. We beat teams we're not supposed to beat, and then we do something like we just blow it. Like we get a holding penalty and bleh. So I'm prepared now. I'm prepared. Where's the game? It's Sunday Night Football, right?
It's in Vegas. Yeah.
Oh yeah, we're totally good. That's even setting it up even further, right?
Yeah.
Get the home crowd all excited.
Yeah. By the way, I feel like that noise you made, that it's a holding call and then bleh, like I feel like that has happened a lot in your life is what it sounds like.
A lot. I mean, it's just when we do break through, I'll be really excited, but it's almost like we're like how Cubs fans used to be before they won or Red Sox fans used to be before. Like ever since the Tuck Rule game against Tom Brady and the Patriots, like it's just I just am waiting for the other shoe to drop or the flag to come out. I'm just waiting for it.
Now, it felt like people were starting to feel that way about Matt Stafford. There were a lot of people getting jokes off about Matt Stafford. Okay.
Yeah.
And look, Matt Stafford has not played like super awesome in the last, handful of games or whatever it's been, but they're winning games. And to Sean McVay's point yesterday in his press conference, he's playing the best at the moments he needs to play his best.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said about someone who can erase their own mistakes, overcome their own adversities, and I think he's the NFL leader in game-winning drives in the fourth quarter. He has 42.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, he's also second in the NFL at interceptions. But
I get it. But he's got 35 touchdowns. It's not like he doesn't have a lot of those too. You know?
Agreed. And look,
actually 38, my bad. 38 touchdowns.
I'm kind of with you on Stafford. So I'm not like a Rams fan or anything like that. Just I watch them more from just like they're in LA and they're growing on me, but I'm just a Raider fan.
It's fine.
But with the Rams, like I find the Stafford story to be so fun to watch because this is what you love about sports. You love the guy who was in Detroit for all those years, and now he's got to figure out, like you could take the Stafford out of the Lions, but can you take the Lions out of Stafford? Like,
correct.
He's had to do it all by himself. He's been the best player on his team for a long time. A lot of his mistakes seem to be trying to go for the home run, trying to force it, trying to do too much. And so much of what, and I'd rather have that kind of mistake than somebody who's afraid of the moment. Uh-huh. I don't think he's afraid of the moment. If anything, I think he's overconfident. And I think he's trying
correct.
To do too much, and he's trying to win it all himself.
He's got a little Brett Favre in him in that sense.
Yeah, a little Brett Favre in him. Yeah. But that is what sports is. Like, you just watch to see if the person can rise to the moment. And we saw this with his good friend Clayton Kershaw. Kershaw had the same issue. He would get to the big game, and then it was always the damn Cardinals, right? Just, it's got to be the Cardinals. And then it wasn't. And then he got over the hump, and he won, and he – it started in that game against the Nationals and then it continued on when they went to the World Series. Like this is what sports is about. It's about overcoming your own challenges and your demons. And I think that's what the story is for the Rams this year. And for Matt Stafford, like you're on a winning team now. Can you learn how to be a winner?
And I think
he's got it in him.
And to your point, it's a process. You know what I'm saying? Like he came from the worst franchise in the sport. And he had to do it all himself, and now he's trying to figure it out. By the way, Sean McVay also, I think, had to figure it out. He put too much on him too early, which is a criticism I had of them early on. And now they're running the ball a little bit with Sony Michel, right? They've got a guy they trust there running the ball. Because Henderson, I don't think Henderson is an every down back.
He's also out for a little while. But.
Well, no, but even when he was healthy, like I just didn't think he was that guy. So they're figuring it out on the fly, and they're now a buoyant team. They're a team that is
buoyant,
starting to
look at that word
at the right time. Yeah, that's an SAT word right there.
Yeah.
All right, let me sneak in a call here. David in Ventura has advice for Lindsay in her clogged toilet. David. Oh, Chad in Huntington Beach. Roger in Ventura. Sorry. Roger.
Hey guys. Hey, yeah, it is Roger. Hey, so a year ago we moved to Ventura. Had my bathroom sink just kept filling up. Tried everything. Tried muriatic acid. I tried that baking soda with vinegar. My wife and daughter kept pushing me to do. It bubbled a little bit, but didn't fix it. Ended up going to, I don't remember, the hardware store or Walmart. There's this plunger thing, this, like a plunger that's got a like syringe kind of thing on it that just pushes everything out. Did that one time, cleared it up, all done.
There you go. Plunger with a syringe thing, Lindsay. Go get that Roger said in Ventura. So do that. All right. Coming up next, we're back in 2.5 minutes. But we're going to have to take a long, hard look at the Lakers. I know they've won a couple games here, and I'm not trying to be negative Nancy, but Russell Westbrook said something yesterday to Dave McMiniman, who asked him a very fair question that left me with my mouth open, okay? That I was like, he said, what? We'll get to that next. If you love The Price is Right, there's only two answers to the best game on Price is Right. It's either Plinko, as you heard Chris say, today's the anniversary of them debuting Plinko, or Cliffhangers. Cliffhangers is the one with the yodeling guy climbing, little plastic guy climbing up the mountain.
Oh, yeah,
they,
that was
and
cool.
And they yodel every time, you know, you pick a number and he keeps going up, you know, higher on the mountain.
Yeah.
And it goes, yodely oodie, yodely doody, 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 do. Yodely oodie, yodely doody, 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 do. So it's either those two. It's either Plinko or Cliffhangers.
Thanks for that demonstration. That was.
For a minute, I thought Scott Kaplan was back.
Yeah, yeah. I
so what's happening here?
I love me a Price is Right game. I love me Cliffhangers and Plinko. There is not another answer. That's it. End of story. Not the dice game. Not punch a bunch. Not hole in one, the golf game that, you know, Bob loved to play. None of that stuff.
Bob did love the golf game, didn't he?
He'd love the golf game.
I feel like
because he'd always do it after.
Show you how to do it?
Yeah, let me show you. Right. Like, yeah,
me-
yeah.
Let
yeah.
me show you.
Yeah, he'd always want to putt. Yeah, exactly. So, yes. Plinko, are you a Plinko fan?
Yeah. I mean, look, I was a Price is Right fan growing up. I used to watch that all the time. I didn't really do anything during my summer vacation, but I don't know what my parents were thinking. They, like, never sent me to camp or anything like that.
Me too.
I was just really bored all the time.
Well, Hispanic people don't believe in camps. Like, that's the reality of it. Laura can attest to that.
No, yeah. You can't, like, even.
And we live in the valley. So it was too hot. Like you could, I used to, when I was in elementary school, I'd like walk to my elementary school and go on the playground, but then it was like 102 degrees.
Yeah.
So there's nowhere to go and nothing to do. Yeah. So we just stay home.
See,
Price is Right.
See, you know, it's funny because I'm not trying to be like, stereotypical here, but all my other Jewish friends, all of them went to camp and I would always tell I grew up in South Florida. So it's a huge Jewish community, right? Like, so I went to public school with a ton of Jewish kids. And I remember them telling me always how they would go to summer camp. And I remember asking my mom one time, oh, yeah, mommy, can I go to summer camp? And she'd be like, camp, te queda con abuela.
Mm-hmm.
I know, I was thinking, like, you know, we have a lot of, like, Jewish camps, and they're always in, like, nice places.
Yeah.
Like, there's one up near Ojai. There's one in Malibu. Like, this would have been really fun. Why didn't my parents send me? Like, I don't know.
You definitely got the short end of that stick.
I was sad. I was always home, and like my dad would maybe go to the market. I was like, "Can I come? I'm really bored. Can I come?"
So Garrett Nakagawa, who is a big fan of the show, tweets us, and he has sent us a link, a Home Depot link for Lindsay for the plunger that Roger and Ventura was talking about with the syringe on it. It's called the Johnny Jolter Pro Power Toilet Plunger.
Oh, man.
That sounds intense.
Yeah. I mean, you sounds like you have an intense problem there, Linz. I mean, I got to be honest.
Well,
with you,
so. Again, I haven't even tried a normal plunger yet, and I'm not at the point where, like, I'm going to get off work and go drive to Home Depot. Like, I'll wait till tomorrow until my plunger gets here from Amazon.
I mean, Home Depot's open after the show.
I know, but that's not really how I want to waste the rest of my evening.
I mean, really? I would, as soon as this show would be over, I'd be on my way to Home Depot.
I have two bathrooms. Okay. I have two bathrooms in my apartment, so I could use the other one.
Yeah, bro. But do you want poop in one of those, like just hanging out, you know?
No, but, you know, it's just, I think it's more the paper towels that are clogging
anything.
All right. It'll be all
right. All right, real quick. Let's go over to the Lakers real quick. So, I'm watching the game yesterday, fourth quarter. By the way, I know Ireland talked about it today on the show that he's been out because of health and safety protocols. He's got COVID. We hope Ireland gets well soon. Shout out to Trudell, who's been filling in admirably for John. He sounds great filling in for John. Him and Michael. Michael's back as well, so that's great news too. Hopefully everybody's back in their proper positions soon. But just know that, John, that Trudell, and I know you said it, I will reiterate it, Trudell has done a fantastic job filling in for John. I will say this, and I need to send you guys the audio because I recorded it on purpose. Trudell still has to do his sideline hits for TV while he's doing play-by-play on radio, which means Michael has to do play-by-play for a minute. And it is gold. Like, gold. So
this
bad.
Amazing.
It's so bad that it's so good, okay? And I love – Trudell calls him out on it. It's hilarious. It was like – it was fantastic. So I need to get that to you. We'll have to play that in the 5 o'clock hour. But real quick on Russ. So I'm watching the game. Lakers win. Hey, good stuff, right? They beat Minnesota, who kicked their butt just a couple weeks ago, right? So good stuff. Now I'm watching the postgame, and Russ is on the podium. And Dame McMiniman, our pal, Ramona, asked Russ what I thought was a fair question. Basically, Russ struggled last night, but then had a huge impact at the end of the game. And he just kind of asked him, hey, man, like, you know, what's that like? Like, what, you know, what was that like going through that? Now, I won't paraphrase anymore. I'll let you hear Dave's question and hear Russ's response. And I'd love to discuss this for a moment. Go ahead. Play it, Laura.
Russ, the late jumper that you hit in a crucial moment of the game and you let out kind of like a roar. What did that do for you? I mean, obviously the numbers suggest that you weren't playing your best up to that moment. And how does it feel for you to be able to contribute in a big moment when the rest of the game wasn't necessarily going your way?
I disagree.
You disagree?
With the part of the game wasn't going my way. My game, you know, it's fine. My game is not predicated on shots or if I turn the ball over. Like, if I miss some shots, that's part of the game. I'm allowed to miss shots. I can do that, you know? Like any other player, I can do that. I can turn the ball over, too. I can do that. That's all a part of the game. But when you watch a basketball game and figure out what impact, making the right plays, boxing out, rebounding, whatever that may be, making the right play, making the right reads, that's all about being a basketball player. And that shot, I mean, just a shot I work on every day. It didn't really do nothing for me, just that it's been there all night and I should have been taking it.
All right, so I have thoughts on this, Ramona, but I'd love to hear your thoughts first because we've both been in those rooms before, and we both have had to ask those kind of questions. I thought the way Dave asked it was super fair because he wasn't having a good game, and he did have a big impact at the end. I thought that was super fair on his part.
Yeah, look, I mean, Dave, it actually was a very nice way of him asking the question, right? Like, he could have said, after you had 9 turnovers – and weren't making very many shots. Like, you could have said that. And I just, it doesn't matter how you ask the question with him. Like, he views the media as his enemy. And he has for a long time. This is not new. The only time he's particularly candid, not candid, but like affable, I guess, is in the silent, you know, in the walk-off interviews.
Right.
Every
time I've had an interaction with him in those scenarios, which I've had a few, he's very easy to get along with, which is why I never understood the way he acts in the group setting, you know?
Yeah, I feel like he goes into the room and it's like, okay, we're going to have, it's on now. Like, we're going to battle now. Like, this feels like he's going, it's me against you and we're battling. Yeah. And like, here come, cue the music, whatever it is. Like, and that is just kind of how, so the other setting where you're on the court, you're doing a walk-off interview, he somehow doesn't associate that with battle with the media, but he's just been like that for a long time. And it's okay. You don't have to be nice to the media, but Like, we're used to it. It's fine. We're not really the most popular, George. Like, it's generally...
Yeah, no, I know.
Trust like, me. It's us and lawyers. I mean, yeah. Who else do people not like?
Yeah.
We're not high on the list, okay? But I think...
Dentists.
Dentists. Well,
postal workers.
Yeah, but they fix things. Like, dentists at least make you feel better when your tooth hurts, right?
Oh,
we don't fix anything. Stuff. We don't do anything good for the world, right? I mean, they're, you know, right away. Yeah. So I don't know. I just think that's just his view of the media. But a lot of it is you're either with him or against him. And so even if Dave would have just said, how did it feel to make that shot at the end? He wouldn't have got a good answer. I listened to the whole press conference. Even soft questions where you don't bring up anything negative, he gives you a bad answer. And most of the time he's looking at his phone. He's not paying attention. He's sort of outwardly disdainful towards everyone.
Yeah.
And like, I think yesterday he was eating. I think he was like eating some chips or something.
He's had some interesting back and forths with Brad Turner of the LA Times.
Who, by the way, that is not a guy that you want to mess with. Like, Brad Turner's been here forever and has had relationships with the best players ever to come from LA and through LA.
Yeah.
So it just seems like that's going to be your adversary. Like, Brad, like, I don't know. Like, and I don't even think Brad asked him anything hard. It was just, it's just how he views it. And I'm okay with it. Like, if you want to, that's fine. Like, it's not personal. It doesn't feel personal. It just feels like that's how he views it.
Yeah.
So my sense with Westbrook, it doesn't matter what you ask, you're just going to get a reflection of how he feels that night. And so he channels a lot of his frustration, at how either the game went or how he's feeling in that moment towards the media. It's just redirected. And, it's okay. Like, Dave's question was fine. I actually understand what Russ is trying to say. He is right. Like, what he's saying is correct. He is allowed to miss shots. He is allowed to turn the ball over, because what the Lakers are telling him to do is to play like you. Go be Russell Westbrook. Play with your hair on fire. Be aggressive. Play at your speed. We got you to be you. We don't want to change you. We don't want to stifle you, because, like, Westbrook playing cautiously is not Westbrook. And what they need him to do is play like that, but also just clean up some of the little mistakes sometimes. And I don't think that they have to be at odds with each other. These are two things that can happen at the same time. And
because I don't think that can happen. But let's tackle that a little bit on the other side.
Okay.
And let's also, I mean, you know, let's also talk about, you know, speaking of issues. I do want to touch on the Antonio Brown stuff at some point this hour. As well, because that's clearly the biggest story in sports today. So we can get to that too a little bit, but I don't want to equate the two. So I'm not doing that. So please don't take it that way. But I think that there are things with Russ that absolutely need to change.
I agree with that.
And by the way, you know, again, not equating them, I think that there are things with Antonio Brown that need to change. And I'm going to point the finger at us, the media, because I think the media has also been a little too judgmental, not necessarily on Brown, but on that whole situation. We'll get to that in a second. The song is very popular right now.
I love it. Like, you got to let it get to the chorus.
It's a good song.
Really good.
Get people going, Laura. It's Monday.
Here it goes.
You're leaving work. It's the new year. Get to the gym. Oh, no. But make sure you wear a mask if you go to the gym. I love how...
There it is.
Yeah, it's a good song. Keep it going, Laura. I love how, like, Latino music has become, like, part of the mainstream. And not like, you know, I was joking about Pitbull earlier. Not joking, because I do like him. But it's like, it's no longer, he kind of started it. Well, not really. There were guys before him. But it was like you had to sing, like, half and half. Or maybe you do, not even half and half. Like, just throw in, like, a Spanish word here or there. Now it's like, we're just going to sing in Spanish and you're going to like it or not. And I like it.
Yeah. I mean, nowadays, like, on American Idol and The Voice, like, a lot of people, if they sing in Spanish, they'll start singing in English and they'll switch into Spanish halfway through the song. It's like, and they get extra credit.
Well, I also think that you should sing, because there are a lot of Spanish artists like Shakira or whatever that have sung songs in English. And I've always said to people who are like, Shakira's okay. I'm like, if you think she's okay, go listen to her sing a song in Spanish and then come back to me.
Yeah.
It's a completely different person, almost.
100%.
And you know this, Momo. You've covered baseball. There's a lot of Hispanic ball players that you talk to them in Spanish, or you hear them talk in Spanish, they sound like a different person because they're not thinking when they're talking. They're just reacting.
Yeah. I remember when I was doing a story with Yasiel Puig when he was first out here. And I went to go interview him, and we were in Miami or something, and I grabbed the reporter from ESPN Deportes who came with me, and I said, listen, I'm going to ask a question. Will you translate for me? But don't translate what he says back. Just let him talk the whole way through, and we'll just listen to the tape afterwards. Yeah. Right? And it made such a difference because we got so much more interesting answers because he was just speaking in Spanish. He didn't have to wait for the transliteration. He didn't have to wait for, you know, each translation each time. Like, just let's just go. And it was so different. And like what he said was like, whoa, there's a lot there.
So speaking of translating, I don't believe Russ's game is going to translate here. I think that, you know, you said that they want him to just be Russ and play with his hair on fire and be, just kind of turn, you know, that you could perhaps cut down the turnovers and kind of be more efficient. He's just not an efficient basketball player. Like, I think at some point or another, you either have to adapt or you're going to get left behind. And if there's anyone who is a cautionary tale with that, it's a guy on his own roster in Carmelo Anthony. And Carmelo Anthony at least had a skill set in, you know, shooting the ball that translated well to today's game. And he struggled to kind of find his place in the new NBA. So I think Russ is great. I think his intensity is fantastic. I think what he's accomplished in this sport is unbelievably commendable. And he's an all-time great. But his game right now is not helping this team win.
I mean, I'm with you on this, but I still think there's a chance that he can help because he tends to get better as the season goes on. And it's happened the last, you know, in Houston.
Yeah, I remember. I remember his last year in Houston. It happened in Washington last year, too. Yeah.
So, like, this is early Russ, and he's going to change. And I'm going to go back to when he first joined the Lakers. He had numerous conversations and meetings with LeBron and Anthony Davis. And I think Jared Dudley was there as well. There were some other – and I don't know if Vogel went to these meetings or Jason Kidd went to the meetings. But, like, there was – a lot of conversation with every, I think Jason might have been in Dallas by then, but but they had these conversations where they talked about all of this, and Russ always told them, like, I know I haven't done this before, but I'm going to do it here. I've never played with anybody as good as LeBron. Like, I keep coming back to that. This is what he said in the summer. He wants to do well here. This is his hometown. He's playing with LeBron. LeBron's like his older brother. He has tremendous respect for him. He doesn't want to let LeBron down. And so far, if you heard what LeBron says about Russ, he's got his back. And I know, you know, that means a lot to Russ. Like, that is LeBron has. I have yet to hear LeBron criticize him. Have you?
Right. I haven't heard LeBron criticize him, but I did hear him yesterday talk about turnovers and we can't turn the ball over. And, you know, which was kind of the opposite of what Russ was saying. Right. So while he hasn't necessarily come out against him, right, or blamed him, he did contradict him a little bit yesterday, and that was the first time I've heard that.
Yeah, he does. So this is the sideways, you know, criticism where you don't name somebody but you talk about what they're doing wrong.
It's the passive aggressive stuff, sure.
But that's okay because Russ understands that. Russ knows he can't turn the ball over like that. He's just going to be defiant when Dave asks that question. Okay, like, of course he can miss shots, of course he can turn the ball over. You just can't turn the ball over 9 times. Right. Like, that's just not okay. And he knows that. He's never going to agree with anyone in the media. But it doesn't matter what he says publicly. It matters what he's saying privately, behind closed doors, in the film session, when he talks to LeBron, when he talks to Anthony Davis. You know they're talking to him. This is not like they just show up and play the game.
Oh,
like, they're talking to him all the time.
Momo, you and I were sitting next to each other. Well, Mark Spears was between us at the Lakers Heat game earlier this year. And they won that game. But I remember there was literally a moment in the fourth quarter of that game where Mark Spears, you and I looked at each other because Anthony Davis said to Russell Westbrook as he was just pounding the ball and dribbling around the court where he yelled at him, "What are you doing?" So like to your point, yes, those conversations are being had.
Yep.
But man, like I just don't know how much longer you can have those conversations without it actually resonating.
So here's the truth, I used to think the only way he was going to change is if LeBron and AD got to him and helped him to change. But now I don't even think that's going to work. I think the only way he changes is if he himself changes. It has to come only from within. There's nobody who's going to get through to him. There's nobody who's going to like reach him and touch and like get to him a place where he's going to like have a light bulb moment. I think he knows. I think he's just holding on to his defiance, because part of what makes him great and part of what has made him an MVP and a star in this league for so many years is that belief in himself and his defiance. That sort of, I mean, I watched that the documentary that he did, and it's all about, you know, his just his worldview and his mindset. I mean, this guy will never stop. And that's his best attribute and maybe his worst attribute, right? It's a stubborn. Yeah. But Billy Donovan, we asked that question when he came through town. He was coaching the Bulls. And Billy gave this really long, interesting answer about how Russ is always coming to him, trying to find solutions. He's always trying to work on his game. I said, and I followed up. I said, Billy, did he come to you or did you go to him? And he goes, both ways. So I have to just trust that the people who know him, nobody has ever said he's uncoachable. People say he's stubborn. People say he's, you know, he's not going to change the way he plays fundamentally, but can he just clean up some of the poor shots that he takes, the volume of shots he takes, the turnovers? These are not hard things to do. This is like, hey, Momo, can you just not be late? Can you get to the show 5 minutes early so we're not sweating it? Like, those are small things, right? And I can totally do that, right? Like, those are small things that you can work on. Now, if you want him to play off the ball differently, can you set screens for LeBron? Can you become a spot-up shooter? No, I don't think he can do that. But can he clean up some of the things that are just exasperating? Yes, I think he can do that.
Man, you are a lot more optimistic than I am about that stuff at the moment. Now, you know, maybe you're right, and I've certainly been wrong, as I mentioned about earlier mm-hmm. today to start the show about the Raiders. I gave up on them, and they are 3-0 since. But I don't know if I see it right now.
Also Melo, the Carmelo Anthony, whom you referenced earlier, George.
Yeah,
like he didn't change till he was out of the league.
Right. So you're saying maybe it takes something drastic.
I mean. You know, it took a lot. Nobody ever thought Melo would change either. Remember when he was first asked about coming off the bench?
And he was remember Oklahoma City when he was asked to come off the bench in the media? And he's like, me, come off the bench? Like,
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see. But, you know, it is going to be I still think it's going to be a bumpy ride here for the Lakers for a while. All right, coming up next, we're going to do What You Need to Know. Laura's got a What You Need to Know today. And it's about Betty White and pink hot dogs, just FYI.
So, I'm in. There you go.
Separately, not together, but separately. We didn't get to the Antonio Brown stuff. We'll do that. I also want to get into the Rams and their potential wild card opponents. But first, they got to get by the Niners, which has been a disaster for them over the last several years. Everyone needs to get off Stafford's back, including you, Mason. Yeah, you heard me. You, Mason, get off his back. All right, we're back in 3 minutes.